See, we don't have no all this preliminary stuff that we go through, like, you know, birthdays and all that stuff, until we get back to doing what we always did. We don't have all those things going on. And church get over a little sooner. So maybe. Biggest lie. I'll tell you what, I'm excited. I really am. You all know that Samson was told that if he had service, y'all pray for him today. The chief police told him that, you know, they're going to give everybody a fine, $1,000 and for sitting in the car. And so he called the Rutherford Institute, and they wrote him a four-page letter to the police department. And I guess Samson got on this Christian website, went national, and so he said, he called me last night, said, pray for us, Dad. That he said, we don't have no conflict with nobody. We just don't want that. So I was praying for him this morning, praying that Lord protect him, praying for preachers all across this land. All right, Acts chapter 21, we're going to start there. We're going to go through a few things here in Acts chapter 21. And Paul has a determination. He's going to get to Rome, and he goes up to Jerusalem. And the Lord, he was warned, and I like this. I can see Dr. Rutman doing it. And Acts chapter 21, look at verse 13. Then Paul answered, said, what mean ye to weep and to break of my heart? You know, I can hear it tell you, don't break of my heart. And he says, for I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul had his mind made up that he was ready to go and do whatever it took. And he went to Jerusalem. Y'all know what happens. He gets, he shaves his head. He goes down there. He has a vow on him. Whenever somebody had a vow, they would shave their head and all. And Paul had all these men with him. And he was accused of, bringing Gentiles into the temple and accused of all those things, and it wasn't true. And they about tore him in half when the centurion brought him out, and he started speaking for himself. He spoke in the Hebrew language, and they went crazy. They started throwing dust in the air. And so Paul's in, he ends up being in jail in Jerusalem. And then they hear, his nephew hears the story, chapter 20, about 23, and somewhere through there. And Paul called one of the centurions and unto him and said, bring this young man to the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So this young man, which is his nephew, heard them talk about, they put a vow on themselves that they weren't going to eat or sleep or anything. They weren't going to eat until they killed Paul. And Paul, the young man, which is his nephew, comes to the prison, to the jail, and tells Paul all about it. But look at verse 11, and he says, the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must ye bear witness also in Rome. God says, you're going to go to Rome. And Paul had the assurance of the Lord, and he says to the young man, says, go tell to the centurion, go tell the captain, this young man's got something to tell him. So he tells him that these guys were going to vow to kill Paul, and they determined to do it. So then the captain takes Paul by night and takes him up to Caesarea. And he gets to Caesarea, and we got the first place we got to go to when we was in Israel was Caesarea. I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know nothing. We just pulled up there, and with nobody there, no buses there yet. We got there real early in the morning, and we got there, and I said, what's this place? He said, you'll see. And we got out of the car. We started walking towards a gate, and we walked up towards this gate and got there and showed them our, paid our tickets and all that stuff to get in. And then we went into the amphitheater, which is wide open. It's an open theater, and it's facing the Mediterranean Sea. And it's got seats all the way up. Hundreds of people could sit in there. And I've told you this, I've ran all over that place. And that's where Paul stood before King Agrippa in chapter 27, 26 and 27, Paul stood before King Agrippa, and he gives this testimony of what God did for him. And so he stands there in front of King Agrippa and Festus and all. And Festus said, "You're mad, Paul. You're crazy." But we also went down to the, they had a, down the, Festus and the king, Agrippa would have sat right there with their backs towards the Mediterranean Sea. And all the people were up there looking at the Mediterranean. And Paul stood out in front of them. And this is a big place. They put on all kinds of plays there and everything else. And we're standing out, and I couldn't believe it. I'm thinking, this is where Paul the apostle was. Man, right where Paul the apostle was. And I stood there in front of the, where I thought maybe the seats were, where King Agrippa and all them sat. And I stood there, and I'm thinking, man, the apostle Paul, that wrote 13 books in the New Testament, testified in front of the king, in front of Festus. And I brought him out. If you go down a ways over here, they had a stairway, went down. That's where they kept Paul in prison there. And they brought him up out where he could said, I could speak for myself, chapter 26. And then he says, "I think myself happy." And he says, "I think myself happy." What a thing he says in front of all them. And he says, "I think myself happy." And so then Paul goes from Caesarea, and you all thought I was going to preach on that message. I think myself happy, didn't you? But I'm not preaching on that. So I went in my one of these Bibles here this morning, and I started looking at the journey that Paul went. He went from Caesarea to Tyre, then to Sidon, and then he goes over and he goes past Cyprus, and he goes up to Lystra. And then he goes on to Sinus and then down past Crete and so on. So, but chapter 27, let's look over there in chapter 27. So they put Paul on a ship, and God tells him, "You're going to get to Rome. You're going to get there." But God didn't tell him that all the trouble that was going to happen getting there. But you know what? Paul had his mind. They always say, a fighter, before he gets in the ring, he's got to get his mind right. You got to get your mind right. You got to get your mind set to fight. You got to get your mind set as a Christian. I mean, you're going to live for God no matter what. You got to get your mind set. Why? Because we are in a fight. We're in a fight, for life, our spiritual fight, and also sometimes it can be a physical fight when it comes to your own physical ability to go through trials and troubles. And you got to get your mind set right. And if your mind's not right, then, brother, I tell you what, the Bible says that God has got not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If a guy goes in the ring, I was watching a videotape of Mike Tyson wanting to come back to fight. And Mike Tyson looks furious at 53 years old, my Lord. And then Evander Holyfield, he put out a video, and you watch, they're going to end up fighting you. They're going to end up being Evander Holyfield, Mike Tyson 3 or something, or 4 or 18 or whatever it is. And they're going to end up fighting again. And we'll probably watch it too. I guarantee I'll watch. And you say, man, Mike Tyson, he looked fierce. You said, would you want to get in the ring with him? No, I wouldn't want to get in the ring with him. I knew the dude can hit, and he can hit. He's got to get his mind set. He's getting his mind set to get back in the ring and get back into the fight. As a Christian, you got to get your mind set. You got to get your heart right and get your mind set that I'm going to live for God until the end. I'm going to go to the end. And Paul had that kind of mindset. Paul said, you're breaking my heart. You're weeping and crying. You're breaking my heart thinking about what's going to happen to me. And he said, don't worry about it. I'm going to be all right. God stood with me. And then he gets on a ship, and God doesn't tell him there's going to be shipwrecks. God doesn't tell him all this thing's going to happen. He doesn't tell him all that. And folks, God doesn't tell us what we're going to face in life. We get saved, and a lot of people think when they get saved, everything's going to be sweet. Everything's going to be great from here on out. And, it's not going to be that way. It's definitely not going to be. I hope it is for you. I hope it's peaches and cream, man. I hope everything's great. But it ain't going to be that way when it comes to the Christian life. And, we have a better chance of it being peaches and cream being in America. I can tell you that right now. We have a better chance because you go and check out other countries where things are not like America and the freedom we have. And we talk about, the government overreach and all that, which I believe it is under our Constitution. But I tell you what, you go to other countries that they don't have the Constitution of the United States. They don't have those freedom. Go to China, where China's bulldozing churches down And they're you know, killing people because of the, if they have the virus. You say, what happened to all them scientists and everything? You know what happened? I guarantee they're in a prison somewhere or they're killed. They don't play no games with them. And you go to any communist country or any Muslim country, you don't hear about many churches getting started in Syria. You don't hear about many churches getting started in Turkey. You don't hear about many churches in other places of the world, Egypt. They are there. Don't get me wrong. They are there. They're underground. And they're doing it, and they're standing for God. And, man, they got the mindset that they'd rather live for God and die for the Lord than to go on as a Muslim, in a false religion. They'd rather die for Jesus Christ. They're trying to use all the precautions they can to protect their family and watch over their family and everything else, especially if you got family, your children. You want to protect them. And brother, I tell you, and sisters, I tell you what, America, we thank God for America. Even though what we're going through with things going on, we thank God for America. Thank God we have the freedoms that we have. And chapter 27, Paul comes out. We could go through all this about King Agrippa and Festus. And then King Agrippa says, thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Great statement, but that's the way a lot of people are. I've said this. A lot of people are saved, but they're not real Christians. And they can be saved. You can say, what's the difference? A saved person is saved going to heaven. I preach many of funerals of people that are saved, but they didn't live the Christian life. They didn't live for God. They didn't make up their mind. They didn't have their mindset that they were going to live for God. They were going to leave the drugs and the drinking and all that junk, and they're going to get away from that mess, and they're going to make their new path that God's given them, and they're going to make it worthwhile, and they're going to go on for God. But you got people that their mind's not set. They're not made up their mind. But Paul had his mind made up. And boy, I tell you what, God used him in a mighty way. He's using him now, even as we read the Word of God. Paul is being used by God. And you said, well, Paul wasn't married. He don't know what it's like. But Peter was, and other disciples were, and they were married. But Paul was a chosen vessel, just like you and I are. We're chosen. But Paul says, chapter 27 of Acts, verse 1, it says, when it was determined that we should sail onto Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners onto our one named Julius, a centurion of August's band. Look down, and they get on the ship. And verse 3, and the next day he touched at Sidon, and Julius curiously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go on to his friends to refresh himself. And when he had launched from hence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, Sicilia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra and to Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexander sailing into Italy, and he put us there on. So Paul's going through all this, and first everything seems to be pretty good. Pretty calm. Everything's going on pretty good. And the centurion's giving Paul liberty to go and see other Christians. And then it says, when we had sailed slowly many days, scarce were come against Sinus, and it says, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salem, and hardly passing it, it came into a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto the city of Lystra. And when we had much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage, not only to the lading of the ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed not the master. The centurion had power to be able to tell the master of the ship, no, we're not going to do that. Set sail to our land, and we're going to dock, and we're going to stay there. But he didn't listen to Paul. Paul was a prophet of God, man of God, the preacher of God, apostle. And Paul said, man, if you keep on going, we're going to lose everything. And nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart hence also, if by means they might attain unto Phoenice and there to winter. And it says, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth towards the southwest of the in the northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing there. Hence, they sailed close by Crete. I got a map looking at that thing. They're close by Crete. And they go on. And then the Bible says, "And that, but not long after that arose against it a tempest wind called Leucriatan. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind," this was a hurricane. Basically, it was a hurricane. "And we let her drive." That was a bad thing right there. They let her drive. That's a bad thing. They let her drive. And they let her drive. And it says, when you're in a hurricane, don't let the woman drive. Amen. And it says, "And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. That if somebody had to go over the side and take helps, and which was a bands, and they had to go under the ship and swim up the other side so they could try to keep the ship tight and keep it from coming apart. And they did that because, and right in the middle of a storm, they're doing this. You know, I think about, man, being out at sea and something like that, a hurricane. My Lord, it scared me half to death. I'm fearful of the water, especially of dying in the water. After reading about these guys in U-boats and during World War II, Doc used to talk about during World War II, these guys, the ships get bombed and the Japanese would let the guys just stay in the water. And then all of a sudden, you know, there'd be 3,000 men in the water. And then by the time they picked them up, be 300 left, only 300. And he said there have been guys that they would be floating in the water, and one guy said, "Hey," and they thinking he was asleep, said, "Hey, George," and it would just be his top, no bottom. The sharks done ate it. And man, that's a fearful thing, thinking about being in the water like that. And here they are in the middle of a hurricane and all this stuff going on, and man, this stuff happening, and God says, "Paul, I'm going to get you to Italy. I'm going to get you over there, and you're going to preach to princes. You're going to preach to kings. You're going to preach to these people, but you're going to see people saved on the way." And God used this thing. He used this hurricane. He used this problem in Paul's life, and Paul was facing these things. And this is not where I want to preach on yet, but I'm going to get on down. It says, "And when we exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship." They started throwing things overboard, all the things that were laid on the ship, that was being transported, they threw it overboard. "And the third day, we cast out with our own hands to tackle them to the ship." That was their survival, to be able to catch fish, to be able to eat. They threw everything out. And man, they lightened the ship. There was 276 people on that ship. That's a lot of people on a ship. That had to be a pretty good size ship. And maybe they were sleeping wall to wall. I don't know. But Paul was in the middle of all that. You're talking about a scare. Nobody's able to take a shower. Nobody be able to, you know, not having food. Everybody complaining. And then Paul said, "Y'all should listen. You should listen to me." He wasn't thrown in their face. And he says, then it says, "After long absence, Paul stood," verse 21, "forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosened from the creed and to have gained this harm and loss." Nobody said, "Sit down, shut up, Paul. Nobody wants to hear what you got to say. Nobody wants to do that." Nobody said that. They listened. Why? They all probably heard Paul say, "If you launch, you're going to lose everything. Maybe even our lives." And they didn't listen, but this time they're listening. They're sitting there on that ship, and they're listening to Paul. And Paul says, "Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And there stood by me this night the angel of God." I mean, when he started saying that, hope came in their eyes, in their hearts. He said, "God stood by me. His angel stood by me and told me everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right." I mean, man, you know what? Those guys were safe as long as Paul was alive. As long as he was on the ship, they were safe. Why? Because God said, "I'm going to get you there, Paul." And these men, they took hope. And the Bible says, "For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am, whom I serve." You know what? If you're serving God and you're trying to do what's right, God will bankrupt heaven to take care of you. I heard it said many a times that God will bankrupt heaven to take care of a child of God that's trying to do right, trying to serve him. God will take care of you. In the midst of the trouble, in the middle of all the problems, I mean, the ship was falling apart. They had threw out with their own hands everything that mattered to them. And man, they threw it out. Paul said, "God stood by me tonight. Last night, God stood with me. And he told me everything's going to be all right." Boy, you talking about hope. You talking about comfort. Brother, I tell you what, going through a storm, going through troubles, God giving you comfort through the word of God, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. And I know that was a comfort to him when he said, God said he's going to give me all you guys that are with me. All you on the ship, you're going to be saved. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God. Amen. Woo! I believe God.
Amen.
Man, I tell you what a statement Paul made. I mean, let me ask you something. You believe God? You believe his word?
Yeah.
I mean, do you take comfort in his word? He said, I believe God. I mean, the Bible says it's better to trust the Lord for confidence in man.
Yeah.
But the problem with a lot of people, they put their trust in man.
Yeah.
They put their trust in other people, and they put their trust in all this other stuff, and they don't believe God.
Amen.
When the Lord said he's coming back, I believe God. He said, I'll take care of you in the middle of trouble. I believe God. He's going to take care of us.
Amen.
He's going to take care of his children. He's going to take care of you. I mean, man, he's going to stand by you. And, you know, I used to love that song, the choir sang, he's going to stand by me. Man, I love that song. Why? Because God will stand by his children. Amen. I know he will. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll stand with you. I'll stand by you. I mean, God is above us. He's below us. He's beside us. I mean, man, he's all around us. He's there. I believe God that he's going to take care of us. The problem with most people, they don't believe God. They don't believe God's going to take care of them. They don't think God's going to meet the need. They get to the place where they think, well, okay, God, I'm just going to have to do it myself. No, you ain't. You're a fool to do that. Paul said, God stood by me this night. He gave me assurance. I mean, you talk about assurance. Can you imagine people that believe that they can lose their salvation and they have no assurance of knowing they're going to go to heaven when they die? Not knowing. You ask them, so are you saved? Well, I hope so. I think so. I'll tell you what, I believe God. I believe when the Lord said eternal life, I believe it's eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
I believe it's everlasting life. You can say it's everlasting, eternal, whatever it is. It's everlasting. It's real, man.
Amen.
I believe God. I know he can take care of his children, and he will take care of you. We sing that song, God will take care of you. You say, Brother John Sarah was over in Africa. He died over there. God took care of him. God took care of him. He said, where is he at now? Running up and down the streets of gold. Amen. And shouting with his wife, holding her hand, rejoicing. I can see it in my mind's eye. I can see him running up and down the streets of gold, shouting and praising God. I'm going to tell you something. You know why? He believed God.
Yeah.
He believed God. And you know what? Miss Carla's up there. She's running around with Chelsea and Pop Coleman and all the rest of her family. She's rejoicing, running down the streets of gold, man. She, why? Because they believe God.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. You better believe God. You better put your trust in God. You start trusting yourself and trusting man, you're in trouble, brothers and sisters. You're in trouble. He said, wherefore, sir, be of good cheer. Amen. You know why? If you're somebody who believes God, you can be of good cheer. Man, you can have peace. You can have joy. You can sing songs about him. And you can praise him. Man, you ain't got to worry about what's going on in this world, man. You can just trust God. People, man, they get discouraged. People want to die. I talked to a brother last night. He's just pray for me. He's going through a trouble and going through trials. And, man, he just said, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I said, we all need Jesus. But I'll tell you what, just trust him. Believe him. If you're watching, believe God. Just believe God. Amen. Lord's name, you ain't got to go to a pill. You ain't got to go to a drug. You ain't got to go to a liquor store. They say the liquor store is essential. Man, my God. And church is not? What's the matter with you? Well, you're crazy. You wouldn't believe God, man. The problem of America, they need to get back to God. I believe Donald Trump's trying to get America back to God. Even though he might not even be a believer, I believe he's trying to get back to God. Amen. I believe we ought to get back to God. He says, sir, he said, be of good cheer. Woo! Man, I can be of good cheer. He says, I believe God, and it shall be even as he has told me. He said, man, what God said, God cannot lie. Three times in that Bible, and this is not the message yet, but three times in that Bible, God cannot lie. And the problem with most Christians, they believe God lied to them.
Yeah.
They believe God's lied to them. And they think, well, the problem is you haven't met the conditions. God gives conditions about his service and living for him. He says, you'll do this, I'll do that. If you'll do this, I'll do that. But the problem is people ain't doing what they're supposed to do. And God won't, misquote or misjudge or anything else and do something again for you where you made a commitment. He won't do that unless you make that commitment and keep that commitment. Brother, I heard Brother Mike talking about vows. You know, Hannah made a vow to God, and God kept his vow. He kept that vow. She said, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him back to you. You know what she did? She kept that vow, and God kept his. God gave her a child. And man, that child became a great man. A great man in Israel. Boy, what a thing. He said, I believe God. But the problem is, Christian, do you believe God? You're sitting around the house. You don't believe God. You don't believe God's going to take care of you. You don't believe God's going to meet your need. He said he would. I could tell you how many times God met our need. We was in Bible school, and I had two families living with us. And Ruthie was, I don't think Ruth was even born yet. Samson was born. And Linda and I was living in a house there on White Horse Road. They called Dr. Seidler, where we were going to school, it was on White Horse Road. And the church was on White Horse Road. They called Dr. Seidler the White Horse Preacher. And boy, I tell you what, getting around, I'm glad I got around that old-time religion. Man, I'm glad of that. I believe in old-time religion. I believe, man, shouting and praising God and having cheer and joy and all those things. I believe in that. I believe, man, in the middle of your trial, you ought to still shout it out every once in a while. Middle of your troubles, you ought to be able to shout it out. And praise God. You know why? The devil's saying, man, I can't shut him up. I can't stop that person. They keep shouting. The Lord says, yeah, I'm going to keep giving them grace. I'm going to keep giving them mercy. I'm going to keep giving them that shout in their mouth. And I'm going to give them praise. Man, I'll tell you what, they're going to have the victory through their life. And I remember we living on that White Horse Road, and I had two families living with us. My wife would have to go up, we're trying to get jobs for these young men. And my wife would have to go up and break up their fight. They'd be up there living together in the upstairs. She had to go up there and break up fights and trying to teach them the Bible. We run out of food. We had no food in the house. My wife said, What are we going to do? I said, we're just going to trust God. We're just going to believe God. That's what we always said. When our house burned down, we're just going to believe God. We're just going to trust God. We're just going to believe him. I know God's able. If he took it away, he'll give it back. Amen. If he took it away for a little while, he'll turn around and give it right back. And boy, I tell you what, we were down there, man. We went to church that Wednesday night. I told everybody, I said, you live in my house, you're going to go to church. You're going to go to church. And these two couples, they were living with us. And man, we went to church that night, and we come back home, and we had no food, and I had no money. And I'm telling you, we walked in the door. As soon as I opened the door, turned the lights on, there was food all over the living room, all over the kitchen, bags of food. I turned around, opened the door, and Linda walked in. I said, look at that. We believe God.
Amen.
God met our need. He met our need. And man, those folks that was living with us, young family, they've just gotten, you know, one of them got married. Dr. Seidler married one of them and down there. And then the other one, they called me up. They were on the street, and I took them in. We've been taking people in for years and years and years. And we took them in, and man, God met the need. I believe God. So he said, be of good cheer, my brothers. Be of good cheer. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. God did tell him, he said, you're going to get cast on an island. And it says, but when the 14th night will come, as we were driven up and down in Ada, it says about midnight, the shipmen determined that they drew near to some country. And found its 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. They were going towards the shore, or they were the ground. They were coming up on the water ground. And says, fearing lest they should have fallen upon rocks, they cast out four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had set down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the fourth ship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldier, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Paul tells them, he says, except they abide in the ship, they can't be saved. And man, the centurion didn't know hesitation. He didn't say, Paul, are you sure about this? I mean, you know, there's been other opinions about this whole deal and all this, and he didn't have no question about it. When Paul said, unless they abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. The centurion takes a sword. He cuts the ropes. The soldier started. He said, cut the ropes. And they cut the ropes, and the boats went off. They thought, those guys said, man, that's our rescue boats, man. I mean, you let them go? What's the matter with you? He believed what Paul said, because Paul said, I believe God. And you go on down, and the Bible says in verse 37, and they were in all the ship 216 souls. That's 276 men. And if it's women there, 276. And the Bible says the ship got caught in between the two seas, and it broke up. And it, man, came apart. You said, man, that was, you said, Paul didn't see that. The Lord said, we're going to be cast on an island. And the ship gets anchored in, or not anchored in, but gets nosed into the sand, a sandbar, and the thing gets broken up by the waves. And they, but Paul's, and then the centurion and some of the soldiers said, let's kill them all, kill them all. But he said he wanted to save Paul's life. Look at this. Look at verse 41. And falling into a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest they any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, one man, he didn't care about the other ones. They said, let's kill them all. He said, no, we're not going to do that. Paul, we're going to save him. And we're going to save the rest of them because of what he said. And kept from their purpose and commanded that they should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest of them on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass when they escaped all safe to the land. And man, I read that story. I can see it in my mind. I mean, you can make a movie about that where they all swimming towards the shore. But the Bible says there was people watching. There was an island that they came up on was called Melita. And they came up upon this island, and these people were watching. Look at the Bible says in verse 28, or chapter 28. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. And they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. I mean, here they came up. Here it was about wintertime. I mean, it got cold and it's going into wintertime. And man, they're just in this hurricane. The wind's blowing. I mean, the sea is violent. Everything's going on around them. These guys are floating in the water, going towards the shore, going towards Melita. And these people built a fire. And they weren't Christians. They weren't saved people. And Paul said, they showed us no little kindness. Well, you're saying, man, they were kind to us. I mean, I wrote down Paul's shipwreck. He found out the place was an island called Melita. And then he found out these guys had human compassion. I mean, these barbarous people had human compassion. They seen the ship out there. They seen the people coming up. And man, they built a fire and they started helping them out of the water, trying to get them up to the fire and built that fire big. And they started showing kindness to them. And the Bible says, for they kindled the fire and received us, everyone. I mean, they was helping people out of the water. They were, man, they weren't saved people. They weren't people that knew Jesus Christ. God had a purpose. God had a reason. He always has a reason. Even though it might look bad and things look bad, God has a reason. This nobody's seen this coronavirus coming. Nobody knew, but God has a purpose. He has a reason behind it. I mean, there's something going to come out of this thing, which I've already seen some things come out of it. God's going to use it for his glory. Even though the churches get shut down, the country gets shut down, 30 million people out of jobs or whatever it is, that many people out of jobs and everything else, God's got a purpose. There's no doubt in my mind. You said, did God know this is going to happen? Well, yeah, I know God. He knew. He knew. He knew what was going on. He didn't. Matter of fact, he didn't call us up and let us know that it was coming. He didn't let us know. He didn't tell us it was going to happen. Man, we were going on. We were thinking, 2020. I mean, here's 2020. We got all these plans. We're going to have youth rally. We're going to have this. We're going to have that. We're going to do this. And we, man, 2020 vision. 2020 vision. We didn't see it. Then, man, we were blindsided. We didn't see it. We still don't know what's going to happen. But God does. You believe God? You ain't got to be depressed. This is going to be all right. We didn't see Miss Carla going home. We didn't see others. I've had to preach funerals. I didn't see it. I don't know, but I know I can trust him. I don't know what's going to be tomorrow. The Bible tells us, fret not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know. I mean, here, we had all these plans about the 2020 vision. And we're going to, you know, the name of the youth rally was going to be Arise. Arise. You're still, if you're still at home watching by live stream, arise! Get out of the bed, you lazy bum. Read your Bible. Arise. Man, they were on the ship. They were under Sicily. That's where Melita is, right under Sicily. I mean, they were almost there. Almost there. And they had a tragedy. We're almost home. We're almost there, brother. Things happen. You know, you can either get bitter or you get better. Most people get bitter. Why did God allow this to happen? Why me? Why me? Why not you? Why not you? Why not troubles come in our lives? I like old world use. I can still see him sitting up here saying, give yourself the trouble. We don't want to do that. Don't want to do that at all. Bible says in verse chapter 28, they showed us kindness. I mean, man, you can still be kind to people even though the coronavirus says, you know, social distancing, you know, don't breathe on nobody. Don't touch nobody. I've done these funerals this past, and I take my mask with me, but then I wear it in there and I see nobody else, I'll take it off. And I hug people. I hugged everybody at the funeral, told them I love them, praying for them. I want to show kindness to people. Among Bible believers, a lot of times we don't want to show kindness. Kindness is important. Showing kindness to one another, to your family, wife to husband, husband to wife. I mess with my wife all the time, and she gets mad. She's watched sometimes. I have to back off because she's losing her kindness towards me. She's fine now. Everything's good at the house. Amen. Kindness. That's a word that, man, we kind of lost control of. Showing kindness to people. Compassion. Here's a bunch of lost people showing kindness. A lot of times you'll find lost people treat you better sometimes than Christians. And that shouldn't be so. Shouldn't be so at all. Christians ought to be the kindest people on the face of the earth. See, people, they miss something about kindness. They think kindness is weakness. Kindness is not weakness. Kindness is strength. When you're kind to people, especially being kind to people when they're not kind to you. I had some people that weren't kind to me lately. And I just kept myself and kept quiet and prayed. You say, what'd you pray? God kill him? No. Nope. I prayed to myself, God help me, help him get saved. I mean, man, here you got to see this, man. They just come out of a hurricane and they're still in it, basically, and it's raining and they're wet and they're probably wounded some. And they're swimming towards shore, and man, it's cold, and they're shivering. And they get up there, and these people are building a fire. And they say, hey, let me help you. Let me help you get you up there. They weren't saved people. God knew those people needed Jesus Christ. He allowed that ship to crash. He allowed that thing to nose into the sea there and get between two seas and run aground and be tore apart so he could get the message to them. Kindness. Showing kindness. God was showing kindness to them. I don't know. Look what the Bible says. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened upon him, on his hand. And man, I tell you what, when Paul, here he is, you know, going around gathering up sticks, trying to get things together, grabs a whole big bundle, and doesn't even realize he picked up a snake, or there was a snake in the fire, in the wood. And he comes over to the fire, and he takes his arm, and he allows it down there, and then all of a sudden, bam, that thing hits him. I was watching I was watching these people messing with these king cobras the other day. My Lord, I was shaking watching it. I mean, this guy comes up to a king cobra, and that king cobra is up like that, and he stand up, and he walks up, and he goes, I'm thinking, I'd be running the other way, man. And that king cobra is up there, and he's posed. He's ready to strike. And this guy goes around. They're always Asians. They're Asian people. Maybe he was looking at, this is dinner. Maybe that's what he was thinking. I wouldn't eat that thing. But he's walking around like this, and he's walking, and then he goes. And looks it right in the eye. Takes his hand real slow. Grabs that thing. I went, oh. And then they showed another guy walking into a cage with them. I mean, got hundreds of them. And they're all up on their backside. He's just going, pap, snacking them up, pap, snacking them up, pap. I said, you know, he had to been bit a couple times. That guy got a devil in him or something. You mess with serpents? Paul gets bit. And the Bible says it was, you say, oh, it was just a black snake. No. Uh-uh. Look what it says. And it says it was a venomous beast. When it look down at verse 4, venomous beast hang on his hand. This thing, Paul should have been, he should have took one step, second step, and then boom, dead. And the Bible says these people are watching him. He got hit by a serpent, and they're watching him. Look what happens. They said, well, he escaped from the sea. He got out. He must be a murderer. You know how when people go through things, you always think the worst? They're no different. Lost people the same way. They thought this guy must be a murderer. He might escape the sea, but vengeance got him. It got him. And man, it says, verse 4, and when the barbarous people saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. And they said, boy, they had an opinion. They had an opinion. You know, when you go through trials, people always judge it. You know, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. Well, you judge it, you're going to have the same problems come. You better be careful about what you say about things. I've learned that as I get older, I've learned, shut your mouth. Like Mike said this morning, shut your mouth. That's what made me know that Lord wanted me to preach this morning. Shut your mouth. Shut up. Pray for them. God help them. Be kind. Show some kindness. Lost people do. Christians ought to. Man, they said, surely he was a murderer. Surely this guy, he's getting what he deserves. You know how people say, well, he's getting what he deserves. You know what? We all got what we deserve. I always say it. You always say it. If we'd be in hell with our back broken, our eyes scratched out. That's if we got what we deserve. And boy, I tell you, nobody in this room is any different. If we got what we deserve, we'd be in trouble. Thank God we don't get what we deserve. Amen. Paul said, and he shook it off. And the Bible says he shook that thing off into the fire and felt no harm. Woo! Man, that is something else. When he said he shook it off and he felt no harm, Paul just went on about his business. He didn't go, ah, look at that. Look, they bit me. Ah, somebody get a doctor. There's a doctor in the house. He didn't do that. Went back picking up sticks. You know, most people over-exaggerate their problem. Yeah. That problem wasn't over-exaggerated. If some serpent bites you that's venomous, that's not an over-exaggerated problem. I say that was a pretty serious problem. But Paul acted like it was nothing. Wouldn't you like to get to a place where nothing really bothers you? When it comes to trials and troubles in this life? I don't know if we ever get to that place. But Paul the Apostle, he knew, you know why he could do that, shake it off, not go crazy? I've seen people go through trials and troubles and go nuts. Just flip out. Blame God, blame the church. There's Brother Jesse or somebody posted, I think it was one of the Manorese girls, posted about what Charlie Clark was saying. He put out a thing on Facebook talking about the church is essential and, you know, when liquor stores open, Walmart. He was going through all that, and it was Meredith, Manorese, put that out. And Jesse was telling me, or Ruthie was telling me, or somebody was telling me, that on that post that Charlie put out, it was probably about 10 minutes, maybe not even that long. He talks about the church is essential and we need to get praying and seeking God, which is, man, good advice. I thought it was great, a video they put out. But then you had a bunch of kids that were raised in Christian homes responding back saying, oh, they're a cult. All they are, they just want your money. All they do, this and this and this. You know what happened? Something bit them back when, and they never shook it off. They never shook it off. They let that thing fester in them. They let that poison get in them or somebody they knew, and they let that stuff get inside them, and that poison just ate them up, and it's going to kill them spiritually. And they put that on. Here they are. And somebody was asking Jesse. They said, yeah, they used to go to this church. They used to go to that church. They went to that church. They don't go to church no more. What happened? Something latched onto them. And they didn't shake it off. Paul could have said, God, what did you do this to me for? How come I got to go through this? Why is this? God, this ain't fair. You ain't fair to me. Well, I mean, I'm on a ship, a perfectly good ship, and it crashes and burns. And man, everybody's out in the sea, and we're floating around. There's all kinds of things in the sea that could eat us. And man, we're out here messing around. And then we come up to the island, and man, all of a sudden, man, I'm thinking everything's going to get better now. The fire's burning. And this thing latches on me. Why? He doesn't do it. Shakes it off. Shakes it off. You know what you got to do? Shake things off in your life. Shake it off. When that greyhound fell on my head, I didn't get out there and say, God, why did you do this to me? I said, thank you, Lord. I know you ain't done with me yet. Hallelujah. And a lot of things, probably some stupid things I've done. You know, before I was saved, I hit 5 telephone poles. Before I was saved. 5 telephone poles, some of them going over 100 some miles an hour. Before I was saved, I had 5 guns put to my head. Before I was saved, I look back on that. And all the things that happened in my life, my brother was killed by a trash truck. I look back on that thing, I said, God, you had a purpose for me. And you still have a purpose for me. So when that bus was on my head and everything, I got up here on Wednesday night and told the church. Everybody, that was on a Tuesday it happened. I told the church what happened. And they went, oh, man, you don't need to be working. I said, no, it makes me happy. It makes me happy. One thing, it makes me happy I got a hard head. It would have broke my skull. It makes me happy that God allowed me to live. It means he's got something for me to do. Amen. My job is not done yet. If you're still living for God and you're still saved, God, your job ain't done yet. Whatever you're going through, shake it off. Whatever problems come in your life, our house burnt down. We went through all that. You know what we did? We just shook it off. We're riding up the road. My wife's, we started laughing. She said to me, don't worry, I'm not going to tell you, curse God and die. We started laughing. You know, most people can't laugh about trials. We just lost everything. No insurance, no nothing. We started laughing. He said, you're just crazy. I had the guy that got saved here the other day, he was here. There was Harvey and his wife Lisa, and I was here. After he got saved, he stood up. He said, preacher, he said, I came to a funeral here. You preached somebody's funeral. I forget what it was. He said, I went out the door. He said, this guy's crazy. He said, I'm never coming back here again. So after he got saved, I said, welcome to the crazy church. We're crazy about him. Amen. You know what? We got troubles. This church has had some troubles. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Go on. You know what Paul does? He shakes it off. Guess what? He gets to lead almost a whole island to the Lord. He goes in and heals a man's dad. And the whole, man, all of them, they knew who Jesus Christ was. They knew who the Apostle Paul was.
Yeah.
When he left that island, everybody knew. Everybody knew. He goes on to Rome, and you find, reading your Bible, he gets on, and man, he goes on to Rome, and boy, and then all of a sudden, the whole island comes out. They hear about he heals Paulus's father, and man, the whole island comes out, and he starts healing people. And man, you know what he did? He didn't say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm just upset the way y'all treated me and this viper. Nobody cared about getting a doctor for me. And he didn't do that. He just went on, kept his focus. I said when I started, I said, when a man gets in a fight, you got to get your mind right. When a guy gets in the ring, he's got to get his mind right. He's got to focus. I'm gonna whip this guy. I'm going to beat him. He's not going to beat me. He's not going to knock me out. And we're going to fight to, we're going to go. And you got to get your mindset. And this life is a fight. But we got God in our corner.
Amen.
He's there. And he said, guess what? He said, I'll fight with you. I'll give you strength. My strength. I'll give it to you. You know what you got to do when you have troubles coming in your life? Just shake it off. Shake it off. Don't let it take you down. Don't let it defeat you. Hey, you know what? The churches ought to be building the fires. I'm not talking about burning the church down. I'm talking about we ought to be on fire. We ought to be the ones being able to shake things off. You know, I watched my sister April when Chelsea died. She was hurt. She was broken. But I watched her through the years just shake it off. Not saying she forgot her daughter. Not saying she didn't hurt. Not saying she mourns for her daughter. You know what she did? She just kept on. And I told you the story about that next Sunday after Chelsea died, we had the funeral here. April sat back here. It was a Sunday night. She said, well, preacher, we're going to have church tonight? I said, well, April, just go home. Just go home, go to sleep, go to bed. She goes, no, we're having church tonight, right? I said, okay, we had church. And our whole church sat here till she was ready to leave. Nobody moved. We stayed here with her. And man, the next Sunday, a young girl came up on that front row. And she raised her hand to get saved. April says she's seen this girl since, but I thought maybe this girl, I'd never seen her afterwards. And I said, did you raise your hand, honey? I went down. I said, honey, did you raise your hand to get saved today? She said, yes. And April was sitting right there where Michael Shane is. And I said, what's your name? She said, Chelsea. As soon as she said that, April looked. And I looked at April and I went, how old are you, honey? She said, 13. Just buried her daughter a week before. And I looked at April. I said, April, would you like to lead Chelsea to the Lord? She said, I sure would. She didn't say, preacher, I just can't. You know what she did? Shook it off. I've seen Christians in this church just shake things off. Not saying they're not hurting. Not saying they're not broken. Their hearts are broken. But they shook it off. They keep on going. And that's what you got to do as a Christian. Keep the fire burning. Keep it going. Makes no difference what comes out of it. Just keep going. Shake it off. Let the bitterness, the Bible tells us not let bitterness, envy, strife, other things get in us. It's like a cancer. It'll eat you up. It'll tear you up. Like a lot of Christians are out right now. You know what happened? Serpent latched onto them. They never shook it off. The venomous beast put his venom inside them. And they're still walking around, dead inside, spiritually. Dead. Paul said, that ain't happening to me. That ain't happening to me. Father, I pray, God, for my brothers and sisters today, God, watching by live stream, and those who are here. I pray, my Father, I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. Like we talked about at the beginning of the year, the 2020 vision. Everybody had the same idea. All over this country had the same idea, 2020 vision. And God, we never seen it coming. We never knew that this was going to happen. But my God, I know you did. And Lord, you have stood by us. And you've taken care of us. I pray, God, you help our country. Help our country, God. Help people come to you. My Father, help us to not to go around bitter and wanting to become a militia and go and start all kinds of stupid stuff when Jesus said, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel. My God, help us to try to win people, show kindness to them and help them. And God, show them the way. My Father, I pray, God, that you just meet the needs today for my brothers and sisters, Lord. Whatever trouble might we be facing down the road, help us to shake it off. Help my brothers and sisters here going through heartaches and troubles. My sister Holly, God, our beloved brother John, and how we miss him. And I see her shaking. She's not letting it defeat her. My Father and brother Ron and others that are here, my God, help them, Lord. And we never forget them. We never forget what you've done. And God, we know we're going to see him again. That's the hope we have. And Paul knew that. Paul had that hope. He was looking forward to getting to the place, God, that he could minister for your glory and honor. And God, thank you for those souls, Melita. My Father, I pray, God, help us to see more souls in Smyrna, in Marydale, and around this area, Dover, all over, God, see more people saved. Help churches across this land. God, I know the pastors are going through it. I know what they're going through. Brother Mike knows what they're going through. My Father, I pray, God, you to help these pastors across the land trying to make the right decisions. I pray, God, help them, guide them and direct them. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, help our brothers and sisters today shake things off in their life, not let it fester and become a venomous poison in their bodies. For your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.